It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Bloomington aldermen worked through a full agenda during their committee of the whole meeting. A complete streets policy, rules for smoking e-cigarettes, and licensing for video gambling machines among the issues discussed. In the studio are Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black and Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Thank you for having us.
This is great. Thanks.
What are your questions about video gambling fees, creating streets for all users, or regulating vaping? The listener line is 309-438-8910. Alderman Black, you wanted a committee of the whole discussion regarding video gambling machine licensing and fees. Action last night has postponed this issue for at least a year. Is it dead?
I think at this point in time, it likely is. I can't imagine it would come back. The feedback from the council last night was not very supportive. The idea of having it on a committee of the whole was to have a philosophical discussion about what is our role in terms of video gaming fees. I hear some feedback from some of the bar owners and see where that money could have been used.
And where were you on licensing of gaming machines? Had you sort of come down on one way or the other?
You know, I think that mirroring normal would have been where I was at. I can see where some of the bar owners were not satisfied with seeing where the money was going to be, the line of sight. There was some conversation about ending up in the general fund, which could go to a number of different things. Or I was in favor of moving it to police and fire pensions, since that's definitely a critical need and we should be funding those, and that's a great revenue source for that.
And Mayor Renner, you were in favor of licensing and an associated fee, but there was a question about whether that money was actually needed and where it would go. Can you answer those questions?
Yes, actually, we've been answering these questions, frankly, for over 3 years. And the fact is, they began under Mayor Stockton because the citizens of Bloomington have absorbed most of the increased costs in liquor enforcement over the last 34 years. The last time that we raised liquor license fees was 1982. And liquor and video gambling was on the agenda back in April. The council by 5-4 did pass, an increase in the liquor license fees phased in over 5 years. And even a half decade from now, we will still be only about where normal is. So part of it is that as mayor and liquor commissioner, I see on a daily basis how much we spend in terms of police officers' salaries, as well as overtime for downtown, but also in terms of legal costs, in people who are appealing our decisions of the liquor commission, and frankly, even in a legal settlement. I made that point, last night.
Yeah, you made that point last night about it's just getting more expensive overall. There are cameras in cars and cameras on cops, but
right.
It's hard to sort of put your finger on an amount of how much gaming establishments that have gaming terminals are actually costing the city. And that was one of the issues.
Well, and that's what
the bar owners
you probably can't really even piece out because there's so many interactions between liquor and gambling. It is something, it's one of the reasons why, with the increased costs and the costs associated with this, that most all communities of our size have some sort of fee between $200 and $1,000 per machine on top of what they get. And so the council essentially, or the majority, wanted very detailed, itemization, perhaps even of all the costs, which at this point don't exist. And that's usually not necessary to make this kind of decision. It's a kind of a syntax issue. You don't usually have to be drawn a special picture to realize the kinds of costs that are associated with this. I think the a small group of noisy bar owners, frankly, dominated the narrative, and a bunch of council members, some core of the council members, I think, frankly, just bought into that narrative, and I heard some of those talking points last night.
The city gets a percentage back from the state from a gaming machine tax that amounted to more than $700,000 last year. So some of the points that the aldermen were making was maybe the additional fee isn't needed because the city's already getting money back that they can use for enforcement. What do you both think of that argument, Mayor Renner?
Oh, yeah. Essentially, yeah, the $700,000, I think, is a drop in the bucket. And the police chief talked to me a little bit afterwards and said, I wish the council would understand the broader costs that we see on a daily basis. And I hear some of that as well. One restaurant, for example, that we dealt with, we had appeal costs that would easily be in the tens of thousands of dollars. And at the end of the day, for 5 months before we slammed them, police were out to that facility Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, virtually every week for 5 months. So you'd have to price out that. You'd have to price out the cost of the vehicles. This would be an extraordinary study to be able to do. To my knowledge, nobody has done this. Usually it's clear, oh my gosh, we have lots of costs. And this is only a small portion of it. If you just settle $250,000 lawsuit, for example, you spend $130,000 on police overtime before you start costing this out. I don't think you should have to be drawn a picture. So, I disagree with the council. But at this point, we're moving on because we've got other things to do.
Alderman Black, the $700,000 that the city gets from the state kickback from the licensing, is that enough money to cover the costs of regulating liquor establishments with video gambling terminals?
Certainly. So the way I see it, I get a lot of feedback from residents that want to see more things, more parks, more programs. How can we fund the youth services? How can we bring this area in to make it look nicer, whether it be special form-based codes or different things that require city resources? And so for me, a fee should be tied to some sort of a, you know, what's the outcome? And a video gaming fee, to me, tied to police and fire pensions, a very critical need, is good. That $700K that you're referring to goes in the general fund, which pays for police, streets, and various administrative costs. But it, you know, it's kind of those challenge of, when it comes to fees, being able to create that line of sight between where the money comes in and then where does it ultimately go.
309-438-8910 is the listener line to join this conversation. Does this leave a hole in the city's regulation of drinking establishments with gaming machines? And if so, should the city move forward with some sort of licensing with no fee?
Well, essentially, you could go beyond the saturation point. We may be close to the saturation point. It's over a $50 million gambling industry, and that's the amount that's actually put into the machines. At one point, I had said $150 million. That is the total amount, but then they give you money back. So, but the actual cash, well over $50 million, a little over $1 million a week that are put into the machines.
And what's the geographic area of that dollar
amount?
That's
Bloomington.
Bloomington.
Bloomington only, right. And so that's, we may be hitting the saturation point. Some cities have decided they don't want them, right? You can't have them. We could put a cap on the number of machines.
And that's my, city attorney George Boyle last night indicated the city could limit the number of gambling machines per establishment. Should the city move in this direction, Alderman Black?
I'm not sure that we'd want to make any hasty decisions. I'd want to have a robust conversation with some of the bar owners before we decide, because, whether it's, X amount or X plus 100, I mean, it's hard to determine what that looks like. And I'm not really, I think we should be eliminating red tape for businesses. It is kind of a syntax. And then it's interesting to hear the big numbers that come out. It shocks most folks that the amount of money those video gaming machines generate. But it's hard to go to a bar nowadays and not see at least a few of those terminals that are there. And I'm not against gambling, but I want to make sure that people are able to get the core services the city provides and add to the quality of life that we have in our community.
So there should be a balance between food and beverage revenue and the money coming in from gaming machines per establishment. Is that correct?
Well, there's some technicalities to this, but our ordinance says you cannot have most of your receipts coming from gambling. We don't want gambling parlors. Now, we have had some legal squabbles, if you will, a dispute with at least one establishment in Bloomington, and they're working with us. So actually, I think that they're trying to comply with the ordinance, but there is a difference. For example, what they're claiming is they want to compare the net profit from gambling to the entire set of receipts, not counting costs associated with their liquor and their food. And so the ordinance is not terribly clear on that. So that is something we may need to tighten up the language on.
So either way, who's checking and who's paying for that person or people to check those receipts to make sure the gambling, the facilities that have gambling terminals are following the rules?
That's city staff. That's me as liquor commissioner, liquor commission people that I've appointed, our city attorney, our police officers, city staff, finance, people are all involved in that.
Is there a report or something that the bar owners have to file with the city?
No, actually, that's not part of the ordinance. It's when we've got concerns, as we do. Actually, it's Lucky 7. I think it is all public record. And we brought them in, and it was pretty clear. When they started, they had well over 70% of their receipts coming from video gambling, and that's with the really conservative.
So it's either complaint-based from somebody who has a concern, right, or it's just a red flag that somebody sees.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't have the staff to do this constantly, to monitor every group or every establishment.
That's Mayor Terry Renner. You can talk with him and Ward Alderman, Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black by calling 309-438-8910. These taverns in Bloomington are being described as small businesses. That's true to a certain extent. Mayor Renner, did you take a political hit on this one, being viewed by someone against small business? And could that hurt you down the line politically?
I doubt that at all. I have yet to run into someone who said, oh, please, I'll continue to foot the entire bill for liquor enforcement. I'll continue to foot all the legal costs and settlements. Don't touch those poor bar owners. The only bar owner, there's a minority of bar owners, actually. Most of the people that I speak with, you know, understand that their costs have gone up, our costs have gone up, and they're willing to pay a reasonable increase or increment, because that's what's happening throughout the state and throughout the United States when video poker is moving from place to place. Actually, it's the reason why throughout the entire world, whether it's a third world country or Europe or wherever, you charge for liquor licenses, because when you put large amounts of alcohol consumption into a public place, it's going to cost you in lots of different ways, and especially if you combine that with gambling. So this is one of the reasons why it's rather puzzling that this is such an issue, because we have really other things in terms of fixing our streets and infrastructure, growing the local economy, as well as revitalizing downtown, improving transportation. I think those are the core issues. It's a shame we spent so much time on this.
Well, let's move on to streets and transportation and complete streets. And before we continue, I need to state that I'm president of the bicycle advocacy organization Bike Blono, and I'm on the Connect Transit Board of Trustees, and I actually spoke in favor of a complete streets policy at last night's council meeting. Gentlemen, what is your understanding of the complete streets concept, and what do you expect as alderman and mayor to be included in the final ordinance governing this policy? Alderman Black?
Yeah, I was very excited to see Complete Streets come back and committee the whole discussion last night. In fact, my intern, Lane Bennett, this last semester looked extensively into Complete Streets, other municipalities that have done it, some research on how it can be implemented. And I know Alderman Burgess, Amelia Burgess, was working with Normal and what they were up to. So this is a culmination of many months of effort and lots of conversations with different groups. And to me, this is the overall combining and the action plan, if you will, of all of our master plans, streets and sidewalks and sewers. I can't forget the bikes one as well. These are all really key plans that, you know, just aren't going to collect dust on a shelf, but we're going to implement them. People are going to see how they can connect in a multimodal way around Bloomington. Because from my perspective, it looks like cars have a monopoly. I'm not saying that we should be having bike lanes everywhere, but I'm also saying that we can be strategic in how we spend our resources. And this council, at least in the 3 years that I've been on, has spent more on infrastructure than years before that. I mean, we've spent tens of millions of dollars at this point. We've created revenue streams that go directly towards it. We are serious about infrastructure. But we can't be throwing money around aimlessly. We need to be strategic to get the best value for our taxpayers' dollars. And these plans are the culmination of that. And so how can we get folks to be get from point A to point B safely, either via bike or maybe via a bus or via car? And then we're not tearing up a road to fix a sewer at some point in time down the road. How do we make sure that we're ADA compliant, Americans with Disabilities Act? There are folks who are in my ward who are in wheelchairs that can't get around because we don't have the sidewalks up to code. And these are the ways that we can actually look at our money, look at our budget, and make these things happen and make these projects a reality, which I think is what people are really demanding of us.
And Mayor Renner, your understanding of the Complete Streets policy?
Absolutely. What he said. Absolutely. I thoroughly agree with Alderman Scott Black on this. And that's, I'm very happy to see it come back. It basically represents a culmination of lots of other work. It also is a policy statement that says that we understand that the multimodal city of the future is what Bloomington is and needs to become. And so it certainly reflects a vision of us moving forward and a commitment, a policy commitment to a multimodal city in the future.
Well, based on your understanding of the Complete Streets philosophy, what do you make of what Alderman Kevin Lauer had to say last night? Let's take a listen.
But this is a push by our federal government and those outside, foreign to our country, that are pushing us to be more green. Okay? And I don't view that as necessarily a very positive thing. Yes, being more ecologically friendly is a good thing, but this increases the size of our concrete jungle.
Ward 1 Alderman Kevin Lauer from last night's council meeting. First, will it increase the size of our concrete jungle, Alderman Black?
I can't speak to where Kevin was coming from on that. With all due respect to him, I appreciate his philosophy and the ideas he brings to the table, but I don't know how we'd be expanding a concrete jungle with this program. If anything, we would be working with the resources that we have and address the issues that we have with our streets. And it might be as simple as when we go back and resurface a road, we just see, does it fit in with a bike master plan? Could we paint in Sharrows to be able to get bike lanes in there? Could it be, hey, this isn't the best location for it? We'll have to consider it down the road. It's just that real philosophy of of taking an extra look at how we can best utilize our transportation infrastructure.
Yeah, and I would absolutely agree with that. I think it is quite the contrary. I think there is nothing inconsistent with smart growth, infill growth, trying to prevent sprawl, and having complete streets. I think they're totally consistent. I would also disagree with Alderman Lauer that this is somehow outside forces or foreign outside the United States. This came from people within the council, people from within our community. This is a Bloomington-based, bottom-up, grassroots kind of movement, and it is a good thing. I also disagree with him that green things are bad. I do believe that global warming is real, and we need to do what we can to sustain that and sustain our environment. But so, in many different reasons, Mr. Lauer is certainly intentioned, but I disagree with him on pretty much everything.
309-438-8910 is the number to call to join this conversation with Mayor Terry Renner and Alderman Scott Black. Is it your understanding that complete streets would work only in tandem with master plans like the bicycle master plan or the sidewalk master plan when it comes to repaving arterial not in the bike master plan? Would that street be looked at through the complete streets lens? Is that clear?
I'm not sure I understand.
I think I follow.
So I'm saying if there's a street that's not in the bike master plan and it's up to be repaved, it's an arterial, and it's not in the master plan, would that street be looked at through the complete streets lens?
I think that it would be. We talked last night about concerns about additional cost with a complete streets plan, and there was talk about how this is just incorporating things that we've already passed. And to me, that's a council decision at that point in time. If we look and staff says, we could put some bike lanes here, or we could do an expansion as we repave this road, not necessarily part of a master plan, we can make that determination. We have that flexibility.
Is that an amendment of those master plans?
That would be something like that, yes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's an excellent question, I think. Thank you.
Yeah. Alderman Burgess has been the driving force, as you said, Scott, behind the city considering complete streets. She proposed two additional resolutions for consideration last night. The first was to hire a traffic engineer trained in complete streets. What do you both think of this?
I think it's an interesting idea. She passed out some information, and it's one of those things that we take a look at and go from there. I think the feedback that I get is folks would like to be more of the process when it comes to how are speed limits determined, how do we have these recommendations from an engineering perspective, and how do we incorporate that. And I think if we get more folks involved in the process, it makes a stronger community.
And that's the other thing I think you're alluding to is the staff traffic advisory committee. And mm-hmm. Alderman Burgess, her other resolution addresses this committee that, according to her resolution, does not have citizen involvement or public oversight. Mayor Renner, what do you think of the staff traffic advisory committee and opening that up to a mayoral appointment?
Whether it's mayoral appointment or mayor and council or whatever, it absolutely needs to be open. I absolutely support Alderman Burgess on this. I also support her recommendation for the next budget to include an engineer. This is absolutely essential. A city our size, we should have actually several. And there are costs associated with that. So absolutely support that, moving forward.
It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Mayor Terry Renner and Bloomington 7th Ward Alderman Scott Black. There was a consensus to move forward on some rules for e-cigarettes last night. What will Alderman eventually vote on? Scott?
I think we're going to see an ordinance come back that bans e-cigarettes at city-owned properties. I think that was the overwhelming feedback we got from the council last night, and then the private sector can decide amongst themselves if they want to ban e-cigarettes indoors or not.
Some aldermen, as you sort of alluded to, thought the free market should determine where people could vape and where they couldn't. Should the free market, as some aldermen indicated, dictate public health issues like this?
My opinion would be no. I mean, essentially, this is deja vu all over again. And that is, we went through this, not just in Illinois, throughout the entire country. And it's why in many other
countries.
You're
talking about with traditional tobacco.
Traditional tobaccos. Ultimately, the position, pun intended, of pro-smoking was a dying position. The percentage of people who were in favor of prohibiting smoking in public places, where you're in, basically, it's a carcinogenic poison you're spewing in public, we realized, wait a minute, oh no, this is not a good thing. Okay, this makes sense. And that that's been almost universal throughout the United States and in many other Western democracies. So I think this is the same kind of argument. I didn't realize that it was that much of an issue. And I don't think it is in anywhere near the scale, obviously, of smoking. smoking, you know, you don't have to go back to the era of Mad Men, know that it wasn't that long ago that it was quite prevalent. And it's hard for us to understand that that's now. So I think other than the scale, it's the same issue, right? It is, I think it's a false free market choice, right? There are some people who do not have that free market choice. If they're children and they're brought in with their mom and dad to a restaurant or
they
facility,
have to work in that restaurant.
Or they have to work in that restaurant and you may not have a choice, especially in a bad economy where you get a job. So the idea of a free market choice, it doesn't even fit the whole concept of actually what a free market is. Free market is supposed to be perfect movement of goods and services and competition and perfect knowledge. And I mean, none of those assumptions really operate here. But again, the market analogy has been used by people to retrofit it to just about anything.
So the alderman had a choice last night. It was no regulation for the straw poll, had a choice last night. No regulation, only in public spaces, or a total ban. And Scott, you were sort of on the line there between public spaces or a total ban. Why not just come down on one side or the other?
I think we need to take a leadership role as a city on this issue, and it was clear that there weren't the support on the broad council for an overall ban throughout the community. And I think that this is really an opportunity for the city of Bloomington to show that this is we don't want it on our properties, and this is the direction of the future, and hopefully that other businesses will follow.
So rather than see it sort of fail, you were willing to have one or the other as long as there was some sort of ban.
I think we've seen a clear message.
And do you think this is the first step toward a ban of e-cigarettes, where we see a ban of traditional smoking tobacco products? Or traditional tobacco products? Is this the first step? Do you think we'll eventually see that?
There was some conversation about whether the state should take the lead on this, and I have zero faith in the state of Illinois to pass anything. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that. And we can't wait around on these public health issues for the state to make a move on
it. And was
anything.
That a pun as well, holding your breath?
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
And you could do all kinds of things. And I would agree with Scott on that. I don't think certainly we should wait for our particular state. But I don't think this is going to get the intensity because I don't think it's anywhere near as widespread, certainly not as near as widespread as smoking, where when smoking bans began, about 20% of Americans were smokers and adults, were smokers. And I think that figure has gone down considerably even in that time period.
Okay. Mayor Terry Renner, Alderman Scott Black, thanks for your time on
Thank
GLT
you, Mike.
Sound Ideas.
Appreciate it.
Mayor Renner and Alderman Scott Black are both up for re-election in April of 2017. This is Sound Ideas on GLT.